Last week, the New York City Department of Health unanimously voted to lift the ban on keeping honeybees in the city. Beekeeper Andrew Cote joins us to discuss what the change in law means for city beekeepers and to explain the ins and outs of keeping honeybees in an urban environment. Mr. Cote is the founder of Bees Without Borders and the New York City Beekeepers Association. I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show. Hi.
Hi, Leonard. Thanks for having me.
Now, the ban didn't stop people from keeping bees here. How extensive is New York's beekeeping community?
It's difficult to say exactly how extensive it is. I think that there are probably about 100 or so people who regularly keep bees, have been keeping bees. Then there are hobbyists who come and go.
Were they all breaking the law?
Well, so are... So are the jaywalkers. I have heard that marijuana can be found in this town.
How long have you been keeping bees in the
about
city?
In the city, about 4 years.
And how long have you been jaywalking?
Jaywalking? No, I wouldn't jaywalk.
Beekeepers weren't exactly under siege. According to the New York Times, there were only 7 citations issued in 2008. How did you and other beekeepers avoid being found out?
Well, I never told anyone where my hives were kept, mm-hmm. and I had so many of them that if any of them had been discovered, it would have been all right.
And where do you keep your bees? Your hives?
I keep my bees in my hives, which I keep on top of buildings and community gardens on balconies.
Why was raising honeybees banned in the city? Bees are a natural part of the environment, aren't they?
Well, they are and there aren't. There are something like 250 different types of bees that are now considered feral bees here in New York City in the 5 boroughs. The honeybees that we raise are not native to North America, mm-hmm. in fact, to the Americas at all. And your other question...
Where are they from?
Well, Central Asia. They began about 200 million years ago as a Vespa, and then 100 million or so years later, they evolved into the apis that they are now. And we brought them over... When we settled in this country, well, before it was a country, around 1600 is when the Europeans began to bring honeybees into this country. They were called the white man's fly and were seen as a harbinger for the encroachment of Europeans by the Native Americans.
They were felt to be dangerous. Everybody was afraid they'd sting.
Well, back at that time, I don't think it was a concern.
And
it
no,
was,
I mean the reason we have this law that you and other beekeepers have finally gotten overturned.
Well, I believe it was 1999, and I believe it was under Giuliani that this law went into effect.
Oh, so beekeeping was okay before then?
Yes, for
another Rudy Giuliani protecting New York from terrorist bees.
Yeah, it was something like that. We did manage to thrive for centuries in New York City despite honeybees being legal. And now, once again, the reign of tyranny is over.
Do you have to get a license or some sort of training?
You know, unfortunately, you do not need to get some sort of training, which is one thing that the New York City Beekeepers Association had rather hoped would be a part of the change.
Is this a good place to have honeybees? Because I would think that there isn't all that much greenery. The bees might be a lot happier in the countryside.
Well, I'm going to answer you while I spoon out a little bit of honey for you from a hive that is on 14th and 2nd.
Boy, that is rich.
It has a nice citrusy taste with a little minty finish, I think.
And where does that pollen come from?
Well, the bees... produce honey and pollen. Well, they produce other things, but yeah. They gather nectar from the flowers.
The nectar is what I meant.
And they fly for 3 miles from their hive. That's about 12,000 acres in all directions. So our streets, our avenues are lined with trees. They're all budding. There are parks, community gardens. There's Japanese knotweed in the alleys. There is so much nectar out there to be had and very few pollinators pollinating.
So what are the specific challenges to urban beekeeping?
Well, now that the ban has been lifted, the first challenge, which was keeping your hive hidden, is gone. I think that now the challenge is finding a good place to put the hive where it will be good for the bees, good for the neighbors, and good for the beekeeper in that order.
Do they require a lot of space?
They don't require a lot of space. They need about 10 feet of space in front of them for their flight path so that they can fly out of the hive and then back into the hive.
So if you wanted to keep bees in the city, you'd have to have either a yard or access to the roof.
Yeah, and I think a yard is good. Roof access is better. But also community gardens, I think, are a great place to put honeybees. We have a long list of community gardens who are crying out to be matched up with a beekeeper to put a hive in their garden.
How much honey does a hive usually produce in a year? Is it the same in the city as it would be in the country?
Well, actually, my hives in the city did better last year than my hives in the country. They produced about 120 pounds per hive.
Maybe the bees get lazy in the country.
It's possible. We do tend to rev things up here in the city a bit. But really, in the country, you have a lot of monocrop. You have a lot of monofloral sources. Here, there's such a variety of nectar, such an amazing, just a plethora of flowers.
And what do you do with your bees in the wintertime?
Well, you close up the hive. You can wrap it with tar paper. You put a windbreak, and you let them stay there, and they stay clustered together, and the queen is right in the center. She's kept at 92 degrees Fahrenheit by her daughters, who rub her and warm her, and she stays like that for the many winter months.
So you don't have to do anything?
Don't have to do a whole lot.
Colony collapse syndrome has gotten a lot of attention over the past few years. Have you had any problems with that?
No, I have not. Colony collapse disorder, it's a recent phenomenon in the broader trend of pollination decline. It was first identified in 2006 and 7 when beekeepers began reporting losses of 30 to 90% of their hives. But although the exact cause of CCD has not been identified with absolute certainty, it really has affected the commercial beekeepers more than the – I would really have to be considered more of a hobbyist beekeeper. Even though I keep about 250 hives, I'm not working on a commercial level.
To produce that much honey, to be really seriously commercial, you'd have to have a more extensive amount of bees? Or aren't there co-ops here in the city that allow for everybody to produce a lot of honey?
I'm not familiar with any, but I know that the New York City Beekeepers Association, we have a few hundred members, and that people work with their bees in different ways. Some people do co-op hives and share hives, okay. Share the expense and the rewards of it. But really, it isn't pollination is the name of the game when it comes to commercial beekeepers. Honey is a far secondary product.
A caller asks if the pollution of the city is a problem with bees.
Well, I can point to some studies done in France. There has been extensive studies done with urban honey from Paris. There are hives on top of the Grand Palais, on top of the Opera House, in the Luxembourg Gardens that have been there for 1.5 centuries. And there are far fewer pesticides and chemicals found in that urban honey from Paris than in the honey from the countryside.
I want to thank you so much for being with us, talking about keeping bees in the city, now legal.
Yes, sir.
Beekeeper Andrew Cote, who is the founder of Bees Without Borders and the New York City Beekeepers Association. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, sir.